ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, that's the promise of Jesus. He said, I will give you rest. If you're burdened today, if you're heavy laden today, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, I just want you to just lift your hand. And by so doing, say, Jesus, I'm one who am heavy laden today. I'm one who needs your rest. And by my uplifted hand, Lord Jesus, I take my yoke upon, or take your yoke upon me. I take your burden upon me. I cast this heavy burden over on you, for you said to cast your burdens upon the Lord, for he careth for you. I roll this burden over on you, Lord, because I can't carry it. And I take your light burden and your easy yoke upon me. I ask you, Lord, to just to remove and to take this heavy load and give me the lightness of your peace. Give me the, yes, glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Put a smile on my face, Lord. Let your light shine through my countenance. Put a spring in my step because the load is gone. I receive your yoke, Lord. I receive your light burden. For I know it's easy. I know it's light. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you care enough about me. Me personally. Not only the rest of the people in this auditorium, but me personally. That you care enough about me. That you'd be willing to have this song sung today just for me. That you'd be willing to have this prayer prayed today just for me. That I might have my load lifted. That I might have my burden carried. And now I yoke up with you. I seek you first in your kingdom. And whatever it is that you want to do now, Lord Jesus, in my life, I walk along beside you in the yoke. I'll not pull, I'll not push, I'll not bolt in the yoke. But I'll walk quietly beside you. I'll not use you, but I ask you right now to use me. I'll not try to figure out how I can get you to do what I want, but I'll try to learn what it is you want me to do. And I'll walk beside you, yoked together with you. You lead, and I'll follow. I thank you, Father, for liberty in the Spirit today. I thank you for the peace that passes all understanding, and I receive it. I thank you, Lord, for the easy yoke and the light burden of Jesus. And I pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. How many of you are here today and have a financial need? Raise your hands if you have a financial need today. Don't be embarrassed about it. If you have a financial need, raise it so God can see it. All right? All right, fine. That's fine. You may put your hands down now. You know, sometimes God's solution seems so simple that we don't ever take advantage of them because they seem too easy. Jesus said in the 38th chapter of the book or the 38th verse of the 6th chapter of the book of Luke, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. God has given us a formula for the meeting of our financial needs. That formula is to give. And it shall be given unto you. Now I want you to know something, lest anybody should mistake the words of God. God is not poor. He does not need our money. All of the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. The earth is his and the fullness thereof. All the silver and the gold belong to him. The very breath of life that you and I breathe are His. God's not going to fail if His people don't give. So God didn't put that in the Word in order to extract the money from His people. God put that in the Word as a formula, as a basis upon which the people of God could receive from Him. That has to do not only with our finances and our material possessions, but also with those spiritual things. If you desire love, try giving some. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. And I can tell you this from my personal experience. If you want God to give unto you out of a large measure, then use a large measure to give unto Him. For Jesus said that the measure that ye meet withal, it shall be meted to you as well. And if we use a teaspoon to give unto God and unto His work, then God must by His word use a teaspoon to give it back to you. Now God's good and He's not stingy, and He will press it down. He'll shake it together and He'll have it running over. But He must, in accordance with His word, use the teaspoon. And I find that if I need a bushel basket full of blessings from God, then I need to sow a bushel basket full of seed. And if I want all that God has for me, then I must give Him all that I have. And I found that the more that I give, what's the song saying? More blessings He bestows. I want you to take your offering, that which you're bringing to God this morning, I want you to take it out. And I want you to hold it in your hand. Whatever it is, if it's a penny, if it's a dollar, if it's $1,000, the size of the gift is not important. What's important is its importance to you. God is looking at the relationship of the gift to your heart, not the relationship of your gift to your neighbors. Now I want you to take that gift, and I want you to release your faith today in believing God. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to lay your hands on your offering, whatever it is. Just put it in one hand, lay your hand on it the other. If your family has brought one offering today, I want the whole family, if you're seated together, to just reach out and just put your hand over it. Father, You said to give, and it would be given unto us. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and even running over, You said men would give into our bosom. And You said that with the same measure that we gave, that You would cause it to be measured back to us again. Now, by faith, our Father, we are giving today this portion of our material possessions. Now, as we give it, Father, we know that it's not ours in the first place. You gave it to us. And that we are merely stewards of that which You've entrusted to our care. We acknowledge that Jesus said that if we were not able to be good stewards and be faithful in the little things like our money and so on, that You would not be able to entrust unto us the greatness of Your spiritual riches. Now, Father, we want to demonstrate to You today that we are faithful. And that we are trustworthy, and that we are good stewards, as it has to do with our material possessions. And as we lay our hands upon these monies, You know, our Father, the relative importance of this gift to me. Do You know whether it's important or whether it's a token gift? You know whether I've had to give up something in order to give this to You, or whether it's just my leftovers. And Father, I ask You in accordance with Your word that You would return unto me in the same spirit that I'm giving to You, and that you would multiply back to me the same kind of seed that I am now sowing this morning, and that you would cause the same measuring stick that I am using today to measure my gift to you, that you would use that same measurement to multiply it back to me. Now, I'll be satisfied, Father, with that, because that's your word, and I have this opportunity today. It's been clearly declared to me that as I have a financial need, that I should sow seed in proportion to my need. And so, Father, when you have multiplied back in proportion to what I've sown this morning, then I have every reason to praise you for that. And I will. And I thank you, my Father, for your promise to multiply back the same kind of seed and in proportion to that which I'm giving. And now, Father, I want you to know that out of my heart, I'm making this offering today because I love you, because I adore you, and because it's yours in the first place. And I give it to you out of a cheerful heart. Desiring that it be used to further the kingdom of God. Desiring that you would use it to bring the same blessings into other people's lives that you've brought into mine. Use it to proclaim the gospel around the world in all of its fullness, in all of its freedom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me invite you to stand, if you will, please. Let's sing that scripture out of Matthew. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. With your spirit to bring many souls into the kingdom of God. We just thank you, Father, that you would allow us to be used in this way. We bless you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. Before I minister out of the word this morning, I feel just impressed to tell you, while you were giving, while the ushers were passing among you and receiving your offerings, I just sensed the Spirit of God just whisper to me as I was sitting here. And he said, this is a generous people, and I'll be able to do much good work through them because of their generosity. Turn in your Bibles, please, to book 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. I want to read beginning at the 14th verse. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now let us pray, and we'll ask God by His Holy Spirit to open this scripture for us and to illuminate His Word for us today. O thou blessed Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us today through this instrument. I know that your anointing is within me and abides within me forever because Jesus promised that you would. You said also that your anointing is on the Word, that as the Word of God is proclaimed, that that anointing which is on the Word will go into the hearts through the ears of faithful hearers. Lord, I just ask you to honor your Word today. Thank you for doing it. Your Word never fails. It's eternal and it's forever settled in heaven. It is faithful and it is true. It is light. We ask you today to cause it to illumine our hearts and our minds. Separate by your Word, Lord, our souls from our spirits. Cause our minds to be renewed by the Word of God. Cause our minds to be transformed, not conformed to the ways of this world, but transformed so that we might know what is that perfect, acceptable, and good will of God by your Word. Speak to us today, Father, in clarity and boldness, and minister to us where we need it through the Word. Cause me to speak, Father, that which is needful today, and in all and through all to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in Him that we live and move and have our being, it's in Him that we put our trust, and it's Him that we worship and praise and honor today and no other. It's His name that we pray, the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Paul says that ye are the body of Christ. He said that the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that each of you who are born again, each one of you who are truly saved and know Jesus as His Lord and Savior is a member of that one body. One body, many members. Now the verses are familiar that we've read. He says that if the body were all ears, how would it see? And if it were all nose, how would it hear? But do you know that there are those in the body of Christ today that just because the person is a nose, he thinks that everybody else should be a nose too?
And just because he's a right hand, he thinks that everybody else in the body of Christ should be a right hand. Paul says if the whole body were all right hands, how would it walk? If the whole body were noses, how would it ever hear? Or how would it ever speak? Paul says this so clearly in the 18th verse, "Now God hath set those in the body as it hath pleased him." This is the body of Jesus Christ. It is not the water of life body. It's the body of Christ. And water of life is not building this body. Pastor Vic Rockhill is not building this body. The elders are not building this body. The women of the fellowship are not building this body. The young people's group are not building this body. The choir and its director are not building this body. The piano player is not building this body. Those that sit on the back row are not building this body. The founding charter members are not building this body. I'm going to tell you who is building this body. It's God Almighty Himself, because it's the body of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and no other. It's the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. This gentleman right here is a member in the body of Jesus Christ. He's bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not bought with man's price. He's bought with the blood of Jesus. And he is a member in particular of the blessed, holy, perfect body that God is building. My responsibility to him is not to build him, but to help him find out whether he's a nose or a hand or a foot. Not to build him. Bless God for him and for all the rest that God is putting into this body. It's the body of Jesus Christ. Don't you ever forget it. Don't you ever forget it. It's the body of Christ. Now, I want to show you somebody who forgot this one time and what Jesus had to say about it. Turn to the Gospel of John. The 21st chapter. I want to talk to you about Peter. And I think that some of us will see ourselves in Peter this morning. I hope not too many of us. My prayer is that God will use this as a warning for us so that we'll never fall into the same trap Peter did. John chapter 21. Now this is the story of the third appearance of the Lord Jesus after his resurrection. He appeared to his disciples twice in the upper room, once on Easter evening, the second time 8 days later when Thomas was there. This is the third appearance sometime after that, and he appeared to his disciples along the sea. They were fishing. Peter had taken a number of them out on the boat and they were fishing. And you remember the story of how Jesus said, "Did you catch any fish?" And they said, "No, there wasn't any." And he said, "Cast your net on the other side." And they did, and they took in this great catch of fish. And when they came up on the shore, Jesus had fish and bread that he was cooking, and he had built a fire there. And he said, "Come and dine," and he fed them. And after they had eaten, he spoke to Peter particularly, and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And he said, "Of course I love you, Lord." Peter said, Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And then he asked him the second time, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, of course I do." He said, "Feed my sheep." The third time Jesus asked him and said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Well, you know that I love you, Lord." He said, "Feed my sheep," the third time. Now I want to begin reading here at the 18th verse. These are the next words of Jesus. He's told Peter three times, "Feed my sheep." Now watch this carefully. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Peter had just been told what he was in the body of Christ. He said, you are a feeder of my sheep. You are to feed the flock that I'm going to call unto me by the power of my Holy Spirit. You are to be the one that's going to feed them. Jesus had just called Peter to an apostolic ministry to feed the flock of God. And then he said to him, when you're old, someone's going to take you where you don't want to go and gird you the way you don't want to be girded. And John records that this is what Jesus was saying to Peter about the kind of death he would die. And most think that Jesus was telling Peter that he would die by crucifixion. And the tradition of the church has that Peter did die by crucifixion in Rome. That's not in the scripture, but that's what most feel. But Jesus had said to Peter, I've called you to be an apostle of mine to feed my flock. When it's all over, this is how you're going to die. And then he said two words. Two of the most powerful words in the gospel. He said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Now you would think that Peter would be so excited. You would think to say, hallelujah, Jesus Christ has called me to this wonderful ministry. I'm going to feed his sheep. Hallelujah, what a wonderful part I'm going to play in the kingdom of God. I know where my place is in the body. Hallelujah, let's go. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Now this is the apostle John. Peter turned around and he saw John following along behind them, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Lord, and what shall this man do? And Lord, now that my nose is clean, I want to help clean his. What's this man going to do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He said, Peter, it's none of your business. Peter, it does not matter what this man is going to do. I've called you to feed my sheep. Now follow me. I'll take care of John. I'll look after his mission. You look after your own. It's sad but true in the Church of Jesus Christ that many of us fall into this same trap, don't we? God comes upon us and by His Holy Spirit, He says, you're to be a teacher in the Sunday school. The next thing we know, we're looking around figuring out, why isn't she a teacher in the Sunday school? Why isn't he teaching in the Sunday school? What's the matter with her? How about him? You ought to teach in the Sunday school, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Then what do you have? You have a bunch of noses, don't you? Paul says it wouldn't be a body if it was all Sunday school teachers. God says to one man, I've called you to lay blocks in this renovation project. I want you to lay the block. And immediately, this block layer is not like this, but you understand what I'm, you understand the point I'm making here. He's not here this morning anyway, is he? But immediately, you see, our tendency sometimes is to turn around and say, well, where are all the rest of you block layers? How come you're not laying block? What's the matter with you? Don't you love God? Why won't you serve Him like I'm serving Him? Why won't you do like I'm doing? Look at me. Jesus says unto you, if you say that kind of a thing, Jesus said unto you, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Let us not be so concerned about what somebody else is doing, but let us be concerned that we know what our place is in the body of Christ and that we're doing that because that's where peace comes. The peace that passes all understanding comes with knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do and forget what everybody else is doing. Now, this not only has to do with us individually in the church, but church, it has to do with us as a whole. Don't you worry about what God's doing at Praise Mill. Don't you worry about what God's doing at First Presbyterian. Don't you worry about what God's doing at the Church of God of Prophecy. Don't you worry about what He's doing elsewhere around. You be concerned to do what God said you to do. He's got His body all over this world. He's got His body everywhere. It's not just right here in this place. It's the body of Jesus Christ, and God hath set us in it as it hath pleased Him. Now, if the devil can get you concerned about the others, if he can get you wondering, well, why don't they do this? Why don't they preach like we preach? Why don't they sing like we sing? Why don't they do like we're doing? Jesus Christ says unto you, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Now you can either say amen or oh me. But it's true either way. God hath set the members in the body as it pleases Him. Sometimes we think about Peter. We read that passage of Scripture. We say, how could he do that? And then we turn around and do the same thing, don't we? Huh? We turn around and do the same thing. And we're so busy being concerned about the other person or the other church or the other work that we're not able to do what God has said for us clearly to do. And the work of God doesn't get done. Suppose our sister Sally is sitting over here. Suppose she was all eyes. She didn't have any legs, didn't have any arms. She was all eyes. And she would like to get back there to the vestibule. How would she get back? There'd be only one way for her to get there. Somebody have to pick up that one big eye and carry her over there. There's no way she could move by herself. She could try and try and try, but she would never get there. Now that is exactly and precisely what happens in the church. Jesus says, church, I want you to go over there. But the church can't get there because it's busy being all eyes. And it has not allowed itself to grow feet. And it hasn't allowed itself to grow hands. And it hasn't allowed itself to grow a nose and eyes and ears. It has not been loving enough in many cases to allow its brothers and sisters, other members in particular, to grow out into the fullness of what they want. And the minute a hand begins to appear out of the body, someone comes along with an axe and cuts it off and says, a hand doesn't belong there. He's supposed to be an eye. And so now you have the body of Christ walking around without an arm because somebody said, you're not supposed to be an arm. That's tragic. That's tragic. That's tragic. God's word's clear about that. Jesus said, what's that to you? You're not building the body of Christ. I'm building it. It's my body, and I'll build it the way I want to. I'll put them in there the way I want them to put in. So who says they don't look like an ear? I said he's an ear. That makes him an ear. When I speak something God says, it's true. It's eternally and forever settled in heaven, and if I have said it, it is so. I don't care if he looks like an arm today. If I've called him an ear, he will be an ear. You believe that. Because he's able to do it. Now, if he was able to take a handful of dust, pick it up like this, and form it in his loving hands into a man, created in the image of God, perfect in every respect, don't you think he could make an ear out of what you think might be an arm? You know he can. You know he can. You know he can. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, Paul said something that really has helped me. Because for such a long time, what seems like a long time, I struggled to be what other people thought I ought to be. And the Lord showed me these verses in the 4th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it's like a 1,000-pound load just went off my head, just lifted right off. The Word of God will set you free. God's Word will set you free. Verse number 3. Paul, the apostle, said this, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment." In other words, it's of little consequence, Paul said to the Corinthian church. It's of little consequence to me that you should judge me and that you should say I should be an ear. It doesn't really matter to me, Paul said. "Yea, I judge not mine own self." I don't even judge myself. "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified." In other words, he says, I don't even judge myself. That doesn't make me perfect. Just because I don't judge myself, that doesn't make me perfect. "But he that judgeth me is the Lord." He that judges me is the Lord. And he that judges you is the Lord. And the one that we are to please is him, not one another. Not others in the body necessarily, but him. We are to set ourselves as God pleasers, not people pleasers. If God's called you to do something, you do what God's called you to do, not what man's called you to do if they're set contrary to one another. Paul says, it's a small matter that you should judge me, that I would be judged of you. For it's the Lord that judges me. And the reason that I'm doing what I do is because of God. And then I like what Paul said in the book of Colossians. It's the scripture that's in your bulletin this morning. The 23rd and 4th verses of the 3rd chapter. Paul said, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men." Let me say something to you right in the middle of that. If you are coming down here and laying block in these walls so that somebody will come up and pat you on the back and tell you what a wonderful job you are doing, Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew's gospel, you already have your reward. Paul said, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men." If you want your reward from God, do it unto him, not unto men. Because if you do it unto men, you'll get your reward from them. There'll be no reward coming from God. You'll already have it. Jesus said that the Pharisees were the hypocrites that went out into the streets and they did their praying out in the public streets so that everybody would see them and they'd know how religious they were. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Their reward comes from men. If God's called you to be an ear in the body of Christ, you be an ear unto Jesus. You be an ear unto him. You do it heartily unto him. Now, some of you may not think that an ear is very lovely. And it would be a lot better to be a hand because you could do a lot more things. But a hand without an ear, a hand without an eye, and a hand without a nose is not a complete body. It takes ears, it takes hands, it takes eyes, it takes noses, it takes mouths, it takes feet, it takes toes, it takes parts that need to be covered up, and it takes parts that may be exposed. It takes all of them. And whatever place, this much I can tell you, whatever place God has called you to fill in the body of Christ, if you fill that place, happy are ye. If you fill that function, blessed and at peace are thee. I don't care if it's a toe. If nobody ever saw you, if you want the peace of God in your life, you must find what you are in the body of Christ and be that. Now, some of you may say, well, I just really can't do anything in the body of Christ. I can't do anything. I'm married to a man and he's not saved and he won't let me come to church even. I can't even come down there and there's anything I can do. I know some wonderful, marvelous, blessed sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ who have learned how to pray, who have learned how to intercede, who have learned how to believe God, who have learned how to lift up the body in prayer, who have learned how to take upon themselves a tremendous ministry in God, even though nobody ever sees them. Nobody ever sees them. Most people don't even know they're in the body of Christ, because they don't appear with the body. But God has set them in that body where they are in a special way, and they're functioning in it. Knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. God is building the body of Christ. He's building it here in this auditorium. He is building it in our county. He's building it in our world. The body of Christ is much bigger than anything that you see here. Of course it is. God is the master builder. The scripture says, unless God build the house, he that laboreth in vain, he that buildeth, unless God build it. God is the one that is building this body. He's the one that's building the body of Christ. He is building it with many different members. And he's doing it the way he pleases. And if I could sum this all up in one just short phrase that may not be all this graceful, but will make the point. Jesus says unto all of us, keep your own nose clean. How many of you understand what I mean when I say that? Okay. Keep your own nose clean. Fulfill your place in the body of Christ. Be so hungry to serve God that when Jesus says unto you, follow thou me, you are walking so close behind him, you can't see what your brother and sister are doing, because it doesn't matter. You're doing what God wants you to do. Set your face like a flint. Follow thou me, he said. Now, that's how the body of Christ is supposed to move. And that's how God will have his body to move. God's perfecting his church. Jesus said, when I come, I'm going to have a church that is spotless. There won't be any wrinkles in it. Hallelujah. There won't be any blemishes on it. There won't be any spots on it. A glorious, beautiful church. Without spot or without blemish. Let me ask you to stand up, please, in the congregation. And I want us to pray. But I want you to pray standing. It's harder to doze that way. Just bow your heads, please, and let's just pray together here. Father, we do want to thank you that you're the one that's doing the building. We thank you, Father, that you have not saddled us with that kind of heavy responsibility. that you're doing it. You said in your word that it was God who worketh in you to will and to do of his own good pleasure. And we know that it's God the Holy Spirit that's working in the body of Christ, bringing us into perfect fellowship, perfect communion, perfect relationship one with the other, that the body would function as Jesus functioned when he was here, perfectly in harmony, a glorious, spotless, wonderful church. Now, Father, it's our prayer today for those of us who already know, whether we are eyes or ears or what have you, that you would keep us in perfect peace, because we're going to stay our mind upon you concerning our mission in life, our ministry, our place in the body of Christ. And Father, we resolve to not only be satisfied with our calling, but to rejoice in it, because it's perfect for us, and perfect for you, and perfect for others. For those of us, Father, who may not know what you've called us to be, for those of us who have thought that we're supposed to be like everybody else, for those of us who may just be beginning to see that you have a special place for us in the body, that you have something extra special for us to do that no one else can do but us, and that you've created us for that work, we open ourselves up to you, Father, this morning. We open our lives up to you so that you may speak to us, tell us what it is, and that you may work in our lives to perfect that work in us, and that you may direct us by your Spirit into the place of the body where we're supposed to be. There are some here this morning that are just holding back, that have not been willing to jump into the body of Christ for fear of what God may want them to do. God wants you to know this morning that if you'll open your life completely to Him, that He'll open His life completely to you. And He wants you to know today that His thoughts towards you are only for blessing and only for good, and that He thinks about you every moment of every day, and His thoughts towards you are only good and only blessing. And you should fear not the call of God which may come upon your life. For through it, God will satisfy the yearning of your heart. You'll not find satisfaction in any other way except to yield yourself fully and completely to the Spirit of Almighty God. Fear not His call. Fear not His anointing. Fear not His mission. Fear not His appointment unto thee. Just be open. Father, we thank you for the way that you're dealing with your people today. We thank you for your word, Lord. We know that it's true. It separates that away from us that's carnal, leaves only that which is of the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Is there anything else, Father, that you want to say today, or that you want to do? If there be, we invite you to do so, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, for all that you have done for His glory. Remain standing, if you will, and we'll close with a closing hymn.
Hymn is 365.
If I gain any praise or any glory, let it go to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. Father, we thank you for the service today and for just the sheer joy of gathering together with others in the body of Christ. Thank you, our Father, for gracing our presence this morning with your Holy Spirit and for privileging us to enter into the fullness of your presence today. For you said that in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. And now anoint your people, Father, with the fullness of your joy, that we may go forth from your house proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is also liberty. We thank you, Father, that you have set us free in Christ and that you have given of your Spirit to keep us free. In Jesus' blessed name, we ask you to use us for his glory. Amen. You may be dismissed.